with Troy Eckerd from Eckerd Global. This show will be a great opportunity for listeners who are interested in receiving pertinent education and material about what is taking place in the energy market. Energy 101 is about your investment and your future. Now, here's your host, Troy Eckerd.
Well. Happy day, everybody. This is Troy Eckerd. I'm the CEO of Eckerd Global. We're a private oil and gas company out of Dallas, Texas, and we specialize in the petroleum industry, primarily in exploration in the midstream space. The show you've tuned into is Energy 101, being held here on Money Radio Station AM 1510 and FM Radio Station 99.3. We're on every Monday at 12 noon, and we look forward to building our audience and sharing educational information about the oil and gas industry with listeners. Today, I'm coming back from a long 3 or 4 day trip to Houston, Texas. The annual oil and gas show called the NAEP Show occurs every year in February, and it is the absolute pulse of the oil and gas industry when it comes to feeling what is going to take place, how the industry feels about the expectations going forward, and you really get to find out what is the true story behind the doors. Now, I can tell you I've been going to oil and gas conferences like the NAEP Show for probably close to 30 years. NAEP's been around since the 1990s, and it was started by a bunch of guys that used to be in the oil and gas leasing business, and when the market fell apart, they decided, you know what, we need to get oil companies talking to other oil companies about participating and sharing in projects. Now, the good news is that it's become an absolute phenomenal success. It's the largest oil show regarding exploration of anywhere of its kind in the country, and it is held in Houston at the George R. Brown Coliseum. Now, what's fun about it is if you take 1997, when the price of oil collapsed back in 97, the NAEP show that year turned out to be one of the largest printing jobs that was ever taken place, I believe, in the history of Houston. Of course, I'm being facetious, that because everybody showed up with their resumes in hand because the oil prices had plummeted and companies were going bankrupt left and right because it was uneconomical to drill. They borrowed money at the bank. The bank said, your collateral is not worth what it used to be. You'll need to sell your assets, and they were selling them at discounted prices at the very worst time possible. Well, I expected to see a great deal of stress on the attendees and the exhibitors at the show. I expected to try to keep a very stern upper lip, and in fact, what we saw was pretty much that type of tempo. And what we noticed is that the best way to find out about any investment, which is part of what the show is about, energy investing, you got to know the people. So like when I make an investment in real estate, I want to know who's in charge of it, who's selling it, I want to know who's going to manage it, and it's all about credibility. Well, in this case, the nice part about going to a show such as NAEP is you're standing toe-to-toe talking with people like Exxon, XTO, Continental, any major, both onshore and offshore. So really any company that's of any significant size or activity is present. So you get a real feel from the biggest of the big down to the smallest of the small, geologists and prospect generators, what's taking place. So here's my feedback for you. All right, first segment, I'm going to give you kind of what I call the pulse of the industry. First thing I noticed is, last year when we walked inside the Coliseum, I was probably 500 people in line waiting to get my badge. This year, I walked right up, no one was in front of me. Normally, every year we go to NAEP, the booths and exhibitors are pressed almost out the door with no space available. This year, you walked in, a lot of empty booths, a lot of empty space. Those that were working the NAEP, what we found is that they tried to put a really good stiff upper lip on, they tried to look very composed. And what we really found after talking and going to dinner and doing what we needed to as far as relationship building, what's clear is the hammer is about to drop. And what I mean by the hammer, for those of you who have not been in the corporate world, is that there's a lot of events that take place at the end of the year. The energy industry is no different than anybody else. They have to get audited financials. They have to get their updated petroleum engineers' reserve reports. They have to be able to figure out how they're going to strategize their story based on those financials and based on feedback from operations and budgets and conversation with their bankers, and are trying to figure out how do we come out with the best possible news so we can keep our stock price up, we can keep our employees' morale up, and at the same time, we know as a company, they all know that the chopping block and all that goes with discharging employees is brewing. They're all wondering where they're going to be working because, quite frankly, we as an industry ramped up about 5 years ago, probably like we haven't done since the 1980s. So what happens is that you spend a lot of time in training and getting all these real smart young engineers and geologists and landmen and accountants, and you get them all geared up. You teach them about your business. You teach them about what's going on in the shale plays, and now all of a sudden you're going to take all that intellectual assets, which is going to be probably the biggest detriment to the petroleum industry is going to be the retraction of the training of all of the staff that has been hired and trained the last 5 years. So I look at the status as follows, and what I get out of all the mood at the oil show is the following. They, being the oil companies, are going to drill only their absolute very best wells. They're going to only drill wells that can give them the highest booked reserves. They are going to consolidate their teams, keeping only the best geologists, the best geophysicists, the best land team accountants. They're looking at all the reserves. So if I'm a big company and I've got five shale plays I'm involved in, they're running their economics and they're going to say, guess what? I'm trying to decide, do I want to be 60% in the Bakken and 30% in the Eagle Ford and 10% in the Permian Basin, or do I want a mix that's a little bit different than that? So one of the fun things for you investors and you that are following the petroleum industry, you're going to get the most free analytical advice that you can buy. And it's not for me. It's going to be right in front of you in the statistics, and here's why. Everybody that I know of, all the way down from CEOs of major companies down to everybody who can write an article in any periodical, they all are guessing which shale play is the best shale play, which shale play has got the strongest economics, which shale play has a break-even point of $45 a barrel, $65 a barrel, $80 a barrel. Well, let me tell you something. All the pundits and all the so-called experts out there, which I just pretty much like I crack up because most of them are 99.9% wrong, when you look at it, the oil and gas companies are about to tell you, me, and every analyst out there which shale play is truly the best shale play. Because why? When they decide, the oil companies, where do we go with a budget that's down by 35 to 50%? And, of course, we're assuming this is based on oil prices not falling further. Now, today it's up a couple of dollars. We're at $53. It's been a neat little trading range here between $48 and $53. Everybody seems excited about that. I'm not so confident. We're still not going to see it bottom out in the mid-30s. But the point is that by the time we look in, let's say, September, October, we're going to start seeing really where the drilling rigs are active. We're going to see which companies have chosen which plays. We, as investors, will be able to take a look at their results and analyze their capital deployment. And I'll bet you when we get down to less than 1,000 drilling rigs, which is coming, I think we dropped 87 rigs last week. We're now down to 1,400 rigs. We've lost probably close to 300 rigs. I talked to one Bakken operator yesterday. They said we started out at, let's say, 16 rigs. They're now down to 13. They said they're going to 6 rigs as soon as they finish drilling the wells that were already put on the books for last year's drilling budget. That's from 16 to 6. So we have at least another 7 drilling rigs from one operator that's about to get laid down up in the Bakken. Now, that's, to me, the undertow here is that, you know, we're going to see a continuation of consolidation. So that continuation of consolidation is going to clearly tell us where is the cheapest oil and gas to be found? Which oil and gas plays have the lowest infrastructure cost as far as transportation cost? Because every penny they can save to the bottom line on that barrel of oil is a huge difference to their bottom line on their balance sheet. And, of course, I like it because what you're doing is if you are going to actively stay drilling and you're going to be buying investments or you're going to be participating in any of these shale plays or the energy business for the next 12 to 24 months, what we have done is we've narrowed it down to the Super Bowl. This is going to be the Super Bowl of oil and gas exploration and pipeline construction and mineral opportunities, because why? Everybody has to recalculate their economics on the current price of crude oil, and they're going to have to calculate it based on where are the rigs located and which company's drilling in which play and why. So we get to look at a dartboard that's now been narrowed down to a bullseye and one big fat outer ring. All we've got to do is decide, does the economics make sense to us as investors? And I found out some great interesting things about some of the new opportunities that are coming out. And for me, as a radio show host, as a guy that's been in the business for 30 years, I get more information in less than 3 days at a NAEP show than I would probably in 12 months out of the year otherwise. So what I want to do is, when we come back to the second segment, what we want to do is talk about the drilling rigs, who's going to lay down rigs, and the more of the economics of, let's say, the Bakken. Again, this is Troy Eckerd. I'm with Eckerd Global. Our phone number is 800-527-8895. You can always reach me at teckerd@eckerdglobal.com. Ask me questions, put your thoughts in, tell me what you might like me to handle on future shows. But in the meantime, we get back on the other side of the break. Let me know your thoughts, and I'll be more than glad to take those by email or calls in future radio broadcasts. Look forward to seeing you on the other side of the break. Thanks again.
talking about real estate and investing in real estate could be
very boring.
That's why you'll appreciate the difference when Jason LaFlesh comes roaring out of the gate like a rodeo bull on the Real Estate Power Hour. Every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio. Join Jason, Sandy, and special guests who are experts on all facets of real estate investing. They want to make sure you make the right move. And your first right move is to listen and enjoy.
Is the U.S. shale revolution a good or bad thing for America? Hi, I'm Troy Eckerd, and I'm the CEO of Eckerd Global out of Richardson, Texas. My career has spent over 30 years focused on the U.S. energy industry. I have built my career specializing in developing and managing investments involving exploration and development of U.S. energy resources. The shale revolution has everybody's attention, and everyone wants to know, what does the shale revolution really mean? What we want to do is every Monday at 12 noon on Money Radio Station AM 1510 and FM 99.3, we're going to present to you, the listener, Energy 101. Every listener on this radio station is affected by the price of crude oil and natural gas. If you think you're not, you'll never be able to get to work without having a barrel of oil supply that. So right now today, I want to offer you the chance to show up every Monday at noon and find out how you, too, can know more about the shale revolution. Contact us at 1-800-527-8895.
Hi, everybody. Ray Lucia here, inviting you to join me for the one talk show in America designed to help you make better money moves. Get strategies and solutions to help you manage your most important financial decisions and the latest from Washington and Wall Street. It's the Ray Lucia Show, weekday mornings on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Tune in this and every Tuesday at 9 a.m. as Ray is joined by Auction Systems. Visit auctionandappraise.com for more information.
Mondays are the most profitable day of the week. When you listen to Money Making Mondays with the Microcap Master, Evan Greenberg, Chief Investment Strategist for the Legend Cap Opportunity Fund. For more info, call Evan at 516-662-0303. That's 516-662-0303. Or email Evan at legendcapfunds.com. And tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. for Money Making Monday.
Kubota is proud to sponsor Alan Jackson's 5th anniversary Keeping It Country Tour. Alan grew up around machinery and likes things that last. Kubota is proud to be part of it. Visit Kubota.com for more information.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. You might soon be pointing and swiping in your car rather than pushing and turning. Car makers are working on new technology that will replace buttons and knob controls with simple hand gestures. Engineers say such hand controls are a logical step for consumers who are now used to tapping and pinching their screens and smartphones. Private investigators have more to do than ever, and they can thank the internet for that. More of us are hiring detectives to investigate the backgrounds of the people we date. The trend is due to the growing number of people who embellish their online profiles and of scammers using dating sites to lure people into false relationships so they can steal from them. Even though it may be cold where you are today, that's no reason to stay inside to exercise. Researchers say outdoor workouts in the cold offer unexpected benefits, such as increasing your exposure to sunlight, which may help fend off seasonal affective disorder. A new study from Finland also finds that working out in nature leads to greater emotional well-being and better sleep. And that's Your Money Now.
I don't care what they say. If you own a business, you did build that. You faced the tough challenges and you made the smart calls. So if your business is growing and you need more space, make the smart call today. General Steel. Our buildings have been used around the world, saving our customers as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. If your need is for storage and manufacturing, sure, we're the best. But with our custom exteriors and designs, General Steel buildings are used as offices, churches, retail stores, and more. Imagine a 5,000 square foot building for less than $35,000. Or even 10,000 square feet for an unbelievable price under $75,000. These are prices you just can't ignore on a building designed specifically for you. Make the smart call and call General Steel today at 866-95-STEEL. Save as much as half the cost of conventional construction and own the space you need. Call 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
The money talk you love, still on 1510 AM and now 99.3 FM. Energy 101. Be a part of the U.S. oil and gas industry. Now back with Troy Eckert of Eckert Global, a company with over 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. If you have any additional questions for Troy Eckert or Eckert Global, please send an email to eckert@eckertglobal.com or call 1-800-527-8895. And we will make sure you get your questions answered. Here is your host, Troy Eckert.
Well, welcome back, everyone. It's Troy Eckert, the CEO of Eckert Global out of Dallas, Texas. Again, this is the Energy 101 radio show, hosted every Monday at 12 p.m. on radio station AM 1510 and FM 99.3 with our host and radio program called Money Radio. This is a great opportunity from all types of investments for everyone to join, listen in, and try to learn about different investments. In this particular case, I focus on the petroleum industry. What we do is we come on every Monday at 12 noon. We try to help those that are very sophisticated within the oil and gas industry that are investing either in stocks or private investments, all the way down to less sophisticated investors who may just be starting to look at this space for something to invest or consider. Now, our show is educational in format. We want to talk about the industry. We want to talk about specific economics. We want to talk about how you as an investor may be looking to put yourself in a position of making money, making decisions about the energy space. So in the first segment, what I was talking about is the oil and gas show that just took place last week in Houston, called the NAEP show, and it's the largest gathering of oil and gas professionals annually regarding the tempo of oil and gas exploration, what's happening in the U.S. Now, what I want to do is dig a little deeper into the economics of what's taking place, and as I mentioned as we just took a quick break, is that there is a lot of drilling rigs that are being, in our industry, we call them lay them down. And what that means is you might have an oil and gas company who has a long-term contract guaranteed to pay a day rate for the utilization of a drilling rig to the drilling contractor or company. And they make a decision, it is better to take that rig and park it, lay it on its side, and put it in a temporary mothball state and pay the drilling contractor their day rate versus all the other ancillary costs that go with drilling a well. So they are physically making or mentally making a decision that it's time to stop spending money, try to retrench, figure out where the best oil and gas projects are, analyze which oil and gas projects will get them the best reserves, et cetera. And so they're going to continue to lay these rigs down. As I mentioned before the break, I believe in the Baker Hughes report, they lost 87 onshore rigs last week alone. We're down probably 250 to 300 rigs since this whole debacle started with the price and commodity price coming down. So let's talk about what the economics look like, because this is something that has been bantered all the way across from London, where I've been 8 times in the last 6 months, all the way to here in the States on a day-to-day basis. And so you have about one-third of the internal oil and gas professionals that I spoke with believe that the real price of crude oil is going to be closer to the low 30s. The other two-thirds believe the price of oil is going to languish between 45 and 55 until the last quarter of this year, and there are probably 20-25% that believe we're going to see a hockey stick in the price of oil, which means we'll languish when the rigs lay down, the production curves start to drop, we start seeing daily output come off, we're going to see a real rise in crude oil price. Now, that hockey stick rise in prices may only be $10, $20, $30 a barrel. But if you take oil today at $53 and you hockey stick it by $20 a barrel, you're in real good shape at $73. Anything above that just continues to add to the bottom line and profit. Now, many of you may not really understand the economics that go into deciding to drill a well. So let's talk about a couple of things that are really important. First off, whenever an oil company gets their operating team and they look at a particular mineral lease, there's several factors that go into deciding where that lease or that drilling opportunity fits in their economic model. First and foremost, big companies want to know that they have aggregation. In other words, if I drill a well and I'm successful, can I drill 50 or 100 wells back to back? If they don't have big lease positions, then they put that down on the lower tier of their assets, saying it's a great play, too small for us, give it to the next tier oil company. So each oil company, depending on their size, has a particular financial pro forma based on size, aggregation, and based on continuity of drilling. The way they analyze it, the way we've analyzed it for 30 years, is we take a look at what we call the finding cost. Now, there's a big difference between a industry term, which is EUR. EUR stands for Estimated Ultimate Recovery, and that is how many barrels of oil or MCF of gas will you estimate you can get out of a single wellbore if you drill a well. And that Estimated Ultimate Recovery is based on barrels of oil, size of the reservoir, characteristics of the reservoir, operating cost, commodity prices, and time. So you might have a well that has 500,000 barrels of oil, but it may take you 50 years to get it out. If that's true, it's a great find. You made 500,000 barrels, let's say, for $3.5 to $6 million finding cost. The problem is it's going to take you 50 years to get it out. In this case, the shale plays, which is really critical for each of you listeners to understand, the real opportunity in the shale plays is that for every single well that they drill, being the oil companies, they're not looking at just single wellbore reserves. So let me give you an example. Let's say I'm Continental Resources and I want to drill a horizontal well in the Bakken. I'm going to go down 9,000 feet. Out 9,000 feet, it's going to cost me $6.5 to $8 million, depending on the frack and the completion procedure. When I'm looking in Continental's financial mind, if you will, I'm looking at it and saying, all right, if I'm going to deploy $8 million to drill this well, my finding cost is not just what I get out of that one well I just drilled. It's does the lease, are the minerals that are in place, the reserves I estimate in place, how much are there? Is there one zone, three zones, four formations? Is the zone so organically rich that it allows me to drill four or five additional wells on that lease? So when I make the capital deployment, I'm not just looking at what my return is on the $8 million. What I'm looking at is how many barrels have I trapped that I now have the right to hold in perpetuity because I drilled a well. In the oil and gas industry, in virtually every state in the United States, once a commercial well is established, you have met the terms of your lease agreement, which means now you can control those minerals for in perpetuity as long as you have commercial production coming out of your well. So it is a real foot race. This is a horse race for every oil company to look at the millions of acres they leased the last 5 years, the billions of dollars they've invested, and they're now having some real tough decisions. When we let go of that 50,000 acres and we let it expire, we're not going to release it because we just decided to put our money in another direction. We're not looking at the $8 million for a single well to drill. We're saying a well in the Eagle Ford cost me $9 million, but I booked 2 million barrels of reserves, so my recovery cost is based on 2 million barrels. I might only get 500,000 out of the first well, but I know I'm going to get four wells drilled. So I got four wells, $32 million worth of cost, to find 2 million barrels of oil, look at the price of oil minus expenses, it tells me what my ratio is. So it's about barrels that I can trap by successfully meeting the lease terms and drilling a commercial well before the lease expires. But I compare, let's say, the example I gave in the Eagle Ford, and I look at the Bakken, and I say, well, in the Bakken, the advantage is they've got four formations. The Eagle Ford only has one. I've got the middle Bakken, the lower Bakken, and I've got what's called the Three Forks. I've got at least three, in most cases, four layers of the Three Forks formation. So I could drill one $8 million well in the Bakken, and maybe I'm going to book 5 million barrels of reserves because I have multiple formations that are shale stacked one on top of the other. And by successfully drilling 8, 9, 10, 12 additional wells, I now can extract, through those different well bores, I can extract, you know, maybe 4 or 5 million barrels of oil. So from an investor's perspective, where most investors go awry, now you've got to remember, this is important even if you're trading only in stocks. You've got to look at oil companies the same way you would anybody else. How much debt do they have? What's their cash flow? And do they have enough capital on their balance sheet to be able to take advantage of this downturn? I get real excited when I start talking about this because I've listened and read many of these articles and heard these guys talking, and most of them do not have a clue what they're talking about. So what I want to do on the other side of the break is I want to talk to you about the third item on my list today, which is what the midstream infrastructure is looking like, because that's one of the biggest things these oil companies have to do, transport their commodities as cheaply as they can, as fast as they can. So this is Money Radio Station Energy 101, Troy Eckerd with Eckerd Global. You can always call me at 800-527-8895. Or drop me an email at teckerd@eckerdglobal.com. Again, AM 1510, FM 99.3. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
As we reach the bottom of the hour, we pause for a look at the world's news.
Then we're back with Money Talk. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Until now, the South has pretty much been spared from this winter's worst weather. But meteorologist John Trout reports that has changed.
Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, northern Alabama over through the Carolinas. What's in store for this region over the next 24 hours? Icing, then snow, and then cold temperatures to finish out the week.
But Massachusetts Governor Marty Walsh says Boston is still in the mix with 96.3 inches of snow so far.
Which puts us in the number two category of all-time snow in the history of Boston.
The murder trial of Eddie Ray Routh is back in session. Correspondent Ed Lavandera has an update on the American Sniper murder trial.
Law enforcement officials testifying about all of the different evidence that was taken into possession in the hours after the murders of Chris Kyle and Chad Littlefield.
A court is forcing Lance Armstrong to pay a promotions company $10 million after taking bonuses for his now-stripped Tour de France wins. I'm Evan Haining.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
If road grime is making it difficult to see what's ahead, let Rain-X windshield washer fluid clear the way. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and buy 2 gallons of Rain-X windshield washer fluid for $7. Get streak-free cleaning power with Rain-X windshield washer fluid at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you donate anything to charity last year? Or did you tell your girlfriend you donated something to charity, but really you just moved it to the attic? Because that CD tower is part of who you are. And if Michelle doesn't understand that, well, maybe Michelle doesn't understand you. Or, well, no matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, did you donate anything, is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
Hey, come on. If you think that by listening to Money Radio every day, you'll be able to make more money, if you think you'll be able to spend it more wisely, invest it like a pro, save a bunch, and plan a comfortable retirement, if you think that's all going to happen, you're right. It's been happening for decades, and we're not slowing down in the new year. And being the nice person you are, you should tell everyone you know about this place. This place is Money Radio.
Risk. How much risk are you willing to take? Have you ever noticed when you're talking to your broker, you sometimes are talking about two different things? Let's take the word risk. What does that mean to you? Is it a set of specific mathematical definitions and equations, often with percentages thrown in? Does that formula answer your questions about risk, or does risk mean something more? Market swings do influence investment decisions, but shouldn't take away from how you assess long-term financial needs. Risk is not the same as volatility. Call Certified Financial Planner Nancy Fleming of Fleming Financial Services and let her help you find what's right for you. Nancy Fleming has over 20 years' experience and is one of a select group who have met the rigorous and ethical requirements to earn the designation of Certified Financial Planner. Call Nancy today to schedule your free risk evaluation, 480-632-8770. Make sure you have your financial future on track for the new year, 480-632-8770, or visit FlemingFinancialServices.com.
Is the U.S. shale revolution a good or bad thing for America? Hi, I'm Troy Eckerd, and I'm the CEO of Eckerd Global out of Richardson, Texas. My career has spent over 30 years focused on the U.S. energy industry. I have built my career specializing in developing and managing investments involving exploration development of U.S. energy resources. The shale revolution has everybody's attention, and everyone wants to know, what does the shale revolution really mean? What we want to do is every Monday at 12 noon, on Money Radio Station AM 1510 and FM 99.3, we're going to present to you, the listener, Energy 101. Every listener on this radio station is affected by the price of crude oil and natural gas. If you think you're not, you'll never be able to get to work without having a barrel of oil supply that. So right now today, I want to offer you the chance to show up every Monday at noon and find out how you, too, can know more about the shale revolution. Contact us at 1-800-527-8895.
It's important to plan ahead for emergencies, like the storm. When it kicked in, we had a plan. We were able to get in touch with each other in no time.
We had no idea how to find each other.
The whole experience was fine.
It was the most frightening 10 hours of my life.
If there's one piece of advice I'd offer other moms out there, it's to stay calm and keep to the plan.
Some parents plan ahead. Some don't. Make sure you know where to find your family in an emergency. Start your plan at ready.gov. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Bruce Vail with Your Money Now. Apple has conquered the smartphone world. Now the maker of the iPhone is taking aim at the auto industry. People familiar with the company's plans say Apple has hundreds of employees secretly working on an electric vehicle. They say the initial design resembles a minivan. Apple may or may not move forward with the project, as the company often investigates technologies and builds prototypes for things it won't ever sell. And speaking of Apple, or in this case, apples, the Agriculture Department has approved the first genetically modified apple for sale in the U.S. The Arctic apple was created by Canada's Okanagan Specialty Fruits. It was engineered to resist browning when cut open or sliced. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 46 points Friday and will open Tuesday at 18,019. The NASDAQ Composite gained 36, while the S&P 500 gained 8 points. That's your money now.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Hey, Mom, are you coming to dance class tonight?
Daddy is. Mommy has to work.
Okay, cool.
My husband and I share everything. Cooking, cleaning, childcare. We have to. We couldn't make ends meet without two incomes, and that kept us worried. We knew if something happened to either one of us, the rest of the family could be in big trouble financially. But we kept putting off getting life insurance because we thought it would be too expensive. Then we found AIG Direct. We were surprised to find that through AIG Direct, a $250,000 policy is less than $14 a month. Now we're protected with AIG, and that feels good.
Helping to protect your family through AIG Direct is fast, easy, and incredibly affordable. Call AIG Direct now and get a free no-obligation quote in less than 5 minutes. Call now and you can save up to 70%. Call 1-800-530-6139. That's 1-800-530-6139. 1-800-530-6139.
Stop by Blimpie today to try one of the new artisan flatbread sandwiches. Choose from Chipotle chicken or Boom Boom turkey. Or try any Blimpie sub on their new oven-fired flatbread. Blimpie, America's sub shop.
Energy 101. Be a part of the U.S. oil and gas industry. Now back with Troy Eckert of Eckert Global, a company with over 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. If you have any additional questions for Troy Eckert or Eckert Global, please send an email to Eckert@EckertGlobal.com or call 1-800-527-8895, and we will make sure you get your questions answered. Here is your host, Troy Eckert.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to get on to business because life is good, and we have to find out what we're going to do to make some money in this turmoil that's going on in the oil and gas space. This is Troy Eckert, CEO of Eckert Global. Again, the radio show is Energy 101 every Monday at 12 noon on Money Radio Station AM 1510, that's 1510, and FM radio station 99.3. So in the first segment, we talked about what was happening as far as the tempo in the oil and gas industry because they had their big show last week in Houston. We then started talking about laying down rigs and what the economic decisions are behind that. The segment was a little bit cut off before I had a chance to finish my conclusion. So for those of you that have been hanging with me through the break, let me just finish my thought, which is, as we see the rigs being laid down across the country, the drilling rigs, and as we see the oil companies deciding internally what has the greatest bang for the buck, where they can put their money to work in the next 12 to 24 months to get the highest booked reserves, is going to send a clear message to every one of us, analysts, private investors, everyone. You don't need a rocket scientist PhD degree. We're all going to know what the oil companies believe are the greatest oil reserves to be found at current commodity prices. So what I was mentioning is that when you look at drilling a well, you're trying to get what they call booked reserves. You're trying to get what is called recoverable barrels of oil out of the ground. Now, one of the things that really has made a big decision in where these rigs are going to go has another component that's not very much talked about and is sure not considered by most analysts because they don't understand the space, and that's called the midstream. So now I'm a big oil company. I decide, do I drill in South Texas in the Eagle Ford, or do I go up and drill up in the Bakken? And I'm looking at both the reserves. I'm looking at the availability of rigs. I'm looking at weather. I'm looking at total reserves. I'm looking at single wellbore extraction rates because that's going to affect my cash flow. When all that's said and done, somebody in the back of the room, probably a quiet guy or gal, sits in the back of the room and says, excuse me, we can get oil out of the Eagle Ford cheaper than we can out of the Bakken because the Bakken is in North Dakota, and we got to haul it all the way to the coast, either to the northeast or down to the Texas-Louisiana coast. The cost of hauling a barrel of crude oil out of North Dakota runs about $11 a barrel. So when you think, when you look at, let's say, $45 to $50 barrel of oil, Bakken producers, which we are, we have over 280 wells in the Bakken. It's my favorite personal play in the country for a lot of reasons, but I'm just giving you a disclosure. When you look at the Bakken, the issue is I think you book a lot more reserves per dollar spent on drilling, but you take an $11 discount. Now, when you're at $100 a barrel or $120 a barrel for crude oil, that $11 is pretty easily absorbed because it's a very modest ratio relative to the overall price. When you go drill a well today for $8 million and you know you have 400 to 600,000 barrels of reserve, and you now have oil prices that the transportation cost alone is 25% of your price, that well is not going to produce 500,000 barrels of oil. That well only has 350,000 barrels of oil because we just put 25% of it is now held up in transportation costs relative to the price. So in running my numbers over the last couple of days, one of the things I found is that even if you didn't have the ancillary cost, such as the lease itself that you have to buy, and you said purely based on drilling dollars, if we're at $45 a barrel in the Bakken, it's going to take us about 400,000 barrels to break even without any discount for net present value or rate of return. So what does that mean? It means that, as I said in the first segment, one of the companies is talking about laying down essentially 10 of its 16 rigs. We're going to see a bigger drop in drilling rigs in North Dakota than we will in the Eagle Ford in South Texas, purely based on transportation costs. Now, why is that important? Well, let's talk about what's going on in the midstream space, because I know many of you listening in today invest in what's called MLPs or Master Limited Partnerships that are traded on the stock exchange. Excellent investments. Love them. I think that, quite frankly, they've been treating investors really well for the last decade or so. Gives you a lot of opportunity to be involved in a fee-based business, because what these midstream companies do is they agree to put in the infrastructure, build a pipeline, a rail terminal, whatever type of midstream service they have, and every service they provide to the producer, and every time they touch a barrel of oil or an MCF of gas, whether they treat it, compress it, ship it, deliver it, they're making a fee. Now, the producer has one choice. It's kind of like, you know, the guy has the last bottle of water for sale in the desert, and you haven't drank water in 2 days. It doesn't matter what the price is. I've got to have the water. In the case of the midstream industry, the midstream providers typically hold a gun to the producer's head, and they do it in a very polite way. They walk in a suit and tie, and they say, guess what? You've made a nice discovery up in the Bakken. The current infrastructure that was built in the 1950s through the 1980s is about a 6-inch crude oil pipeline. It holds 10,000 barrels. Guess what? You're bringing in Bakken wells that are now producing 1,800 to 4,000 barrels a day. So essentially, the infrastructure has been far out-delivered as far as supply, and the midstream representative walks in a suit and tie, says, you know what, I'm here to help you. I've heard that from the IRS before. I'm here to help you. And what he says is, I'm going to go build you an oil terminal. I'm going to build you a pipeline, and what you're going to do for me, Mr. Producer, is you're going to give me some financial assurance that you're going to be my customer for the next 10, 15, or 20 years. So you're going to dedicate all of your acreage, which means from now till the wells go dry, every barrel of oil and MCF of gas that comes off this property is going to go through my system. That's one. The second thing is, you know, we got to spend $100 million to put this terminal in. We're going to need you to have on your balance sheet a financial guarantee of a certain quantity. So if you want to move 10,000 barrels, how many barrels are you going to guarantee me under a firm contract? We can guarantee you 5,000 barrels. Great. It's a dollar a barrel times 5,000 barrels a day times 10 years. Now that oil and gas company goes back to their CFO and says, guess what? You have now on your balance sheet a liability of the cost of that guaranteed contract. Because without the guaranteed contract, 95% of all projects are not going to be built. Because even the midstream companies have bankers and shareholders, and they have investors who need some financial assurance. You're not going to go out and build a $100 million pipeline and not have any customers. So one of the things that's taking place that really many of the articles I've read and all the pundits that are talking about oil and gas is they don't really talk about the infrastructure relative to how it's affecting the oil and gas industry and the decisions that are being made. We are involved in a couple of midstream projects. We have, about 2 years ago, we acquired through a private equity group the assets in the Gulf of Mexico that was originally owned by El Paso Natural Gas. I believe we're the second largest pipeline company in the Gulf of Mexico, and we move 27% of all the natural gas that comes out of the Gulf of Mexico on our system. So we have a lot of experience in working with producers, and we know kind of what their push and pulls are as far as, you know, trying to look at infrastructure. Here's my example for you as investors. Pay close attention to these MLPs, but you better pay close attention to which MLPs have now got major new assets exposed in some of these shale plays that are going to have rigs laid down, because guess what? Their projected growth in revenue is going to drop dramatically. Their ability to sustain those economic models when they built that $100 million crude oil line isn't looking so pretty if it happens to be in the southern part of North Dakota where the rigs got laid down. So one of the things that we focus on here at Eckerd Global is we focus on what I call a full scope of the business. We want to know about the exploration, which we have 30 years doing. We also want to take into hard consideration the midstream. What is the cost of a barrel of oil, MCF of gas? So when we get back, what I want to do is talk to you, the listeners, about, you know, when should you jump back in the game? When is the price of oil going to bottom out, and when's the right time to get back in the game? I'll share my thoughts with you on the other side of the break. It's Troy Eckert with Eckert Global. You can reach me at 1-800-527-8895. You can always email me at teckert@eckertglobal.com. Again, Energy 101, Money Radio Station, FM 99.3, AM 1510, 1510. I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Howdy. For Money Radio, I'm Whip LaRue. What am I doing talking up Money Radio? Well, sir, you see, I used to be the most famous movie cowboy that there ever was. Got paid handsomely for it, too. But out on the range with just my horse and my less than smart sidekick Stumpy, there weren't no way to listen to Money Radio. So I spent every penny I made mostly at the saloon. Saved nothing. Don't be like me. Two things. Keep listening to Money Radio and don't wear your hat too tight. See ya.
Hi, I'm Phil Grandy of PhilsGang.com. You know, a lot of people are afraid of the stock market after losing most of their money in the different crashes, but now you don't have to be fearful because we have technology that will tell you when the markets are ready to collapse. That's right, the PT2. I designed it so that we get information in advance of any correction, the smallest correction to the largest correction. Get my PT2. Make sure this time when you are investing that you have safety on your side.
Find out more at PhilsGang.com or call 877-600-4264.
Hi, I'm Phil Grandy of PhilsGang.com. Fear. Everybody's fearful to get back in the stock market. Replace that fear with online education in options, stocks. Also supported by the greatest technology, trading platform, our PT1 chart, our PT2 chart. That's what you replace your fear with. Join the thousands of people who have already done that here at PhilsGang.com.
Isn't it time you reduce your fear of investing? Find out more at PhilsGang.com or call 877-600-4264.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking about real estate and investing in real estate could be
very boring.
That's why you'll appreciate the difference when Jason LaFleche comes roaring out of the gate like a rodeo bull on the Real Estate Power Hour. Every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio. Join Jason, Sandy, and special guests who are experts on all facets of real estate investing. They want to make sure you make the right move. And your first right move is to listen and enjoy.
Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM invites you to tune in to the one show with smart money strategies for you. We take your calls and questions about your financial plans and retirement plans every single day on the Ray Lucia Show. That's Monday through Friday from 8 until 9 a.m. on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Tune in this and every Wednesday at 9 a.m. as Ray is joined by Medeiros Futuro. Visit PreciousTimber.com for more information. Kubota is proud to sponsor Alan Jackson's 5th anniversary Keepin' It Country Tour. Alan grew up around machinery and likes things that last. Kubota is proud to be part of it. Visit Kubota.com for more information.
Energy 101. Be a part of the U.S. oil and gas industry. Now back with Troy Eckert of Eckert Global, a company with over 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. If you have any additional questions for Troy Eckert or Eckert Global, please send an email to Eckert@EckertGlobal.com or call 1-800-500-5500. 527-8895, and we will make sure you get your questions answered. Here is your host, Troy Eckerd.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Troy Eckerd, CEO of Eckerd Global. The show and radio station that you've called into is Money Radio Station FM 99.3 or AM 1510. And the show is called Energy 101, and we specifically talk about the petroleum industry. I got involved in the business in 1985. This coming May will be my 30th year. And I want to tell everyone that we've had a really awesome last week learning reconnaissance and information about the oil and gas industry and what the back office expectations are with regard to the upcoming next 12 to 24 months. Now, I'm going to give you a little visual, and I want you to think about this because most of us are probably of the age where we, at one point in time, actually washed our own cars by hand. We didn't always go to the fancy new car washes. And so I think of the oil and gas industry sort of like a squeegee. You essentially, you know, you go out and you get it full of water and you scrape it and you work with it and you think you got all the water out. And you take that last little squeegee and you run it through that little roller and you squeeze the last bit of moisture out of it. And that is what's taking place right now in the oil and gas industry. From the top to the bottom, whether it's buying supplies, whether it's going out to dinner, whether it's your travel budget, drilling wells, how many bits you buy, the pipe you buy, there's one clear message right now. If it costs money, unless it's absolutely necessary, do not spend the money. There's only two ways the oil and gas industry is going to make it through this little price commodity drop, and that's going to be simple. We're going to cut cost at the very top as fast as we can, and unfortunately, people, the human component, the intellectual assets first, and then comes the actual vendor services such as pipes and equipment and material and chemicals, et cetera. Now, the other way that they can save money and make this economical as they work their way through the next 12 to 24 months is they have to make a higher yield per barrel. How do they do that? They do it through, as I was describing in the previous segment, they do it through focusing on the midstream space, getting their barrels of oil aggregated in a cheaper, faster, more reliable mechanism to the market. Because the way it works is from the time the barrel leaves the wellhead into the tank, there's a risk. There's a risk, commodity risk, generally to the producer, unless they already have somebody pre-purchasing their crude oil. And that means that the sooner that that producer can get that barrel into a tank, a pipeline, on a truck, or rail car, and they deliver it to a potential buyer, whether it's a refinery or a tanker or a barge, they have risk. And they also have a delay in cash flow. So as I said in the last segment, there is an enormous amount of infrastructure needed for the oil and gas industry. And so it doesn't matter to me from the midstream perspective if oil prices are down. These producers still have too many barrels, too much gas, and they have old, undersized solutions as far as pipelines, trucks, and rail. And so what's going to take place, I believe, over the next 24 months is going to be a catch-up. The pipeline, oil terminal, gas plant industry called midstream is going to spend its time building, permitting, and trying to get caught up of the last 5 years' tremendous success that came with the oil and gas companies. So as I promised you before we took off to the break, I want to take the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show, and I want to talk to you about when is the right time to jump in the game. Now, what's interesting, if you've ever been to Vegas, I like Vegas, and you go there with a bunch of buddies or friends or family, and you're having fun. I learned a long time ago when I first started going to Vegas, never tell somebody how to bet their hand at the table, never. You can be your best friend, you can be your wife, or you can be your husband, but the reality of it is, if they win, they're not going to give you any of the winnings. And if they lose, they're going to blame you for losing all their money. So there's no upside for you. Okay. In this case, what I look at is I don't know how much upside is in your favor the next 6 months if you participate in either stocks or investments directly related to drilling. Now, I'm saying that although we are drilling wells and I have investors of my own that participate in drilling wells, but the reality of it is most of the economics are going to be hard to justify today because when your oil comes online, you're going to be selling it at, you know, $48 a barrel minus the transportation cost. You're going to give away a good portion of your reserves at very low prices. However, if you have patient capital and you think about how many reserves you can capture for future development, it would be like buying a nice piece of real estate 2 miles on the north side of a given town where you know all the growth is headed north, and you're buying it 2 or 3 years ahead of schedule. But you know by buying that property, you're getting a huge discount to what may be the perceived market value at a later date. That's where I think we're at in the oil and gas space. These oil and gas companies, Eckerd Global, small companies like ours, we are going to all focus on the best yield and highest return for the dollars that are expended. So we're going to drill probably 50 to 100 wells this year. We're going to participate in as many as we can, but it's going to be in the best locations at the cheapest price with what we think are the most efficient operators. So when I look at stocks and I try to figure out, well, when's a good time to jump in and buy Whiting or buy Continental or buy one of the big players up in the Bakken? When's a good time to buy a drilling company stock? The answer is I wouldn't be looking at the drilling companies as a safe place to be because we haven't even begun to see the final drop in rig utilization. That would be 9 months out, 10 months out before I even come close to seeing where the bottom is. Commodity prices. Right now, it's anybody's game. I'm more in the pessimist mode. I believe that prices really have an erosion of maybe another $10 to $15 a barrel. So for me, I'm not running out today to go put myself on the front line on drilling that I may be able to hold off until, let's say, the last half of this year. I like tax write-offs, and I like to have cash-flowing assets. So I'll be looking to invest a lot of money in the last 5 or 6 months of this year specifically for those purposes. Now, you as investors are saying, well, what is a good thing to get into? I mean, this can't all be bad news. I may have been the only person walking around last week at NAEP with a smile and a skip in my step because we're all cash. We don't have any debt. We've got a lot of wells. We've got a lot of partners that are invested with us. And we look at it and say, you know, we're not happy that the price is down, but we're getting cash flow. We tied up a lot of reserves. We have the contractual right to develop when we want to. But more importantly is we're going to find assets that are going to be sold at distressed prices. We're going to find opportunities to get in wells that otherwise we could have never got into 6 months ago. Here's a prime example. Talked to one of the big operators up in the Bakken. They said, you know, we have what we call majority-owned leases where that particular oil company has, let's say, 65 or 70% of the acreage in a potential new drilling unit, meaning where a new well is going to be drilled. They said, but we have a lot of leases where we own 25 or 10 or 30% interest. We're not going to be a majority owner. What we intend on doing is consenting to participate in the well, but we want somebody else to take over our interest. We don't want to default, per se, but we would be willing to let somebody take a wellbore interest only. So what that means in simple terms for you investors, there's going to be a lot of chances for private investors, small companies, to come in and buy only the rights to drill the first well. But when you take out the cost of the leases and you take out all the extra upfront cost, you just cut your cost to participate in the Bakken by as much as 60%. Economics start looking really good. So what I want to tell you is that there is a lot of opportunity out there. What we hope to do next week and the weeks following is give you updates and opportunities and identify things that you should be looking at on your own. Again, this is Troy Eckerd. I'm the CEO of Eckerd Global. You can reach me at 1-800-527-8895. And again, that's at teckerd at Eckerd Global, and our website is eckerdglobal.com. Now, this is Energy 101, Money Radio Station, AM 1510, FM 99.3, every Monday at 12 noon. Come to this radio station. Listen to their shows. They've got great hosts. It's a great time for you to get educated, and it's free. While you're sitting back and looking at what you want to do with your money, we're going to bring you good information that will help spark your interest. Again, you guys have a great week. I'll see you next Monday.
You've been listening to Energy 101 with Troy Eckerd of Eckerd Global, a company with over 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. In case you missed any of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. If you have any additional questions for Troy Eckerd or Eckerd Global, please send an email to eckerd@eckerdglobal.com or call 800-527-8895. And we will make sure you get your questions answered. We invite you to join Energy 101 every Monday afternoon from 12 p.m. through 1 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed on this broadcast are not intended to offer solicitation with respect to the purchase or sale of any securities. Eckerd Global has prepared the broadcast solely for the purpose of providing educational information on the oil and gas industry. Investing involves a great deal of risk, and nothing spoken during the show should be construed as a warranty of investment results. All risks, losses, and costs associated with investing, including total loss of principal, are your responsibility.
Retire and stay retired, safe, smart, and secure. Call Secured Financial Solutions at 800-957-5604, extension 200, to get your complimentary guide to maximizing Social Security options and understanding Medicare benefits. 800-957-5604, extension 200, and on the web at www.theripa.com. Listen to On the Money with Anil Vazirani and Secured Financial Solutions every Tuesday at 1 p.m. and Thursdays at 9 a.m.
The station that talks about your money, Money Radio 1510
and 99.3 FM.